nothing. You lose.
I've never been so high in my life.
The category is Butch Queen, Butch Queen, Butch Queen, first time in drags at a ball.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Who Shot Ya? I'm your host, Ricky Carmona. Thank you for listening today. Joining me in the studio, I have film reviews editor at The Wrap, Alonzo Duralde.
Hey, Ricky.
Hey, Alonzo. Are you still the L.A. Weekly film critic? She is still the L.A. Weekly film critic, April Wolf. Ooh, ooh. Keep making that paper, girl.
We'll see.
And also with us this week, we have a special guest, freelance critic whose reviews can be found at The Wrap and The Hollywood Reporter, Ingu Kang, ladies and gentlemen. Ingu Kang, how are you?
I guess I am here.
Network enthusiasm.
Please keep bringing that energy. Keep bringing that energy. We like to start the show off, Ingu, by asking everyone, what is good with you this week?
I'm really happy to be on this film podcast with not one straight white man in it.
Oh, I think that's a first right there.
That was the theme of the show, I thought.
We didn't even have an idea for the show. We just had that. How do we get not three straight white people in the room together? Alonzo, can you beat that?
What's good is the air conditioning at my friend Gary's apartment, because it's been in the triple digits in Los Angeles this October week, and my house does not have air conditioning, and it is not fit for human sitting around. So thank you, Gary, for all that AC.
Shout out to Gary and the AC. April, what is good with your job having maybe ass?
Well, you know, this week was a hard one. but what's good is I just celebrated my first wedding anniversary with my husband.
Yay.
And we're still together.
And they said it wouldn't last.
You know, against all odds, they made it happen.
Ricky, what's good?
What's good?
Thank you.
What's good?
What is good? I have been living the adult life lately, y'all. I responded to none of my friends' texts this weekend saying, hey, what are we doing this weekend? I didn't reply to any of that. I stayed home with my brand new soundbar. And that was dope. And I watched movies. I'm very excited to talk about the movie that I will be recommending at the end of the show. That is all that is good that is happening in my life. Thank you for asking, y'all.
I keep thinking about your bath mat, too, in this adult life that you're living. Because the one time you mentioned that you got your first bath mat, I was like,
You've crossed a border from which none return.
I want to make it very clear. It's my first own bath mat.
Okay.
In my own apartment.
Yeah. Okay.
I've had bath mats before. This is Ricky's own bath
mat. It's like when Mayor Winningham makes her own peanut butter and jelly sandwich at the end of St. Elmo's Fire, and it's hers.
I'm just glad you have a bath mat that you're not constantly borrowing from other people.
No, not at all. And also, spoiler alert, my bath mat is called Mayor Winningham. Shout out to Mayor Winningham. We have a great show lined up for you. We are going to be talking about all things Halloween this episode. We have special guest, one of the co-writers from The Big Sick, Emily Gordon, will be joining us to talk about what her favorite scary scene is in a movie. And as always, we have our staff picks for you. But before we get into any of those things, it's our world-famous first segment that I like to call It a Dick, which stands for Is This Important and Do I Care? Here's how it works. I'll read a news blurb or headline. Alonzo, April, or Ingu will jump in with their take by answering these two questions. Is this important? Do you care? Let's get started. The huge Hollywood hit this weekend. Geostorm. Oh,
I'm sorry.
I mean, it's a great... The star of Geostorm, Gerard Butler, hospitalized after injecting bee venom. Why would he be injecting bee venom? Well, I'll tell you, he was doing it to help with muscle aches after enduring a 12-hour day of performing stunts on his film. You know what? Let's listen to him telling the story on the ITV talk show Lorraine.
I had heard of this guy who injected bee venom because apparently it has many anti-inflammatory compounds. Oh, so I'm right. like, come to New Orleans where we're filming. And he gives me a shot and I go, oh, that's interesting. It stings, but then he gives me 10 shots and then I have the worst reaction and I kind of went into this anaphylactic shock.
For goodness sake.
Oh, it was terrible. And I'm thinking, well, I mean, it was awful. Creepy crawlies all over me, swelled up, heart's going to explode. But I got through it, I think, okay, I'm okay. And then I found out he'd given me 10 times too much. This is supposed to be over 10 weeks.
Oh, for goodness sake. Yeah.
Is this important? Do you care?
Okay, I'm only saying this because it's Gerard Butler, but he totally put that bee venom in his dick, right? Like, I mean, there's no way he didn't.
That's what was sore after shooting, for sure.
The streaming service VidAngel filed for bankruptcy this week, y'all. Now, if you don't know what VidAngel is a streaming service that shows clean versions of movies. The company has filed a Chapter 11 because all the major movie studios have sued them for copyright infringement. Is this important? Do you care?
So dumb. Like an angel's job is to remove sex from things.
Yeah,
like,
bad swears.
Oh, God.
I have a friend who claims that conservatives have no idea what's going on in pop culture. And I think that in this case, it's extremely true. Because when I saw the word VidAngel, I thought, porn.
Absolutely. Right.
Yes.
Right away.
Yeah.
Now, I remember, I mean, this has been going on for decades now, where like they would have these sort of Utah blockbusters that carried the, like, you know, cleaned up versions of movies. And it's just, you know, look, I hate watching movies on an airplane where they've clearly like overdubbed the, you know, the, what's the famous one? The I'm sick of these monkey fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday plane. Who needs it?
Here's the thing, though. I think they don't do that anymore because you get, like, individual screens. And
right.
I, for some reason, on a recent 15-and-a-half-hour flight, watched the entirety of Sex and the City Season 2. And it was a little weird that there was just, like, boobs, boobs, boobs.
Yeah, that's why I watch Interview with a Vampire on every single flight. It really makes them uncomfortable.
This week, the cast of Thor Ragnarok met in Beverly Hills for a press event. While at this event, someone asked Tessa Thompson if there might be a Valkyria movie, and she revealed that she asked Marvel producer Kevin Feige. Am I pronouncing that right?
Feige.
See, I was going with you, Alonzo.
Let's never pronounce it right. Let's just never pronounce it right.
Thank you.
Feige.
I like that very much so.
Fig.
She asked Kevin Feige, what about a movie with female superheroes?
No, it really is Feige.
No, I know. I'm intentionally pronouncing
sorry,
it wrong.
Sorry.
I do comedy, Alonzo. How many times do I need to go
Heard
through this?
It.
I keep hearing rumors of this.
Take 287. And then she revealed that she asked Marvel producer Kevin Feige, what about a movie with female superheroes? How about it? And he said yes, and then added there's a precedent in it for the comics. So Marvel producer may be sort of considering an all-female superhero movie. Is this important? Do you all care?
Oh, my God, Kevin Feige, eat a fucking dick.
What?
He's been in charge of Marvel movies for, what, now, like 2 decades, and he hasn't made one yet. DC beat him to it with a marvelous success, and for him to be like, oh, a female superhero movie, I've never heard of that, is completely disingenuous at best.
Yeah,
gaslighting at worst.
For all the clamor there's been about, oh, you have this Black Widow character, why doesn't she have a movie? For that matter, why doesn't she have a goddamn toy? You know, I agree. It's a little like, you know, what? We need to do this? Like, this has been discussed a lot recently. So I don't know why suddenly it's like, good idea.
I just keep imagining, like, a Black Widow action figure with, like, a baby in a briefcase. accessories.
No,
you know?
The point is she can't have
exactly,
a baby.
Exactly.
That's why she's a monster.
Be like your fantasy dream baby, you know?
Oh.
We'll take a break, and when we come back, we will talk about scary movies. How's that sound?
Yes.
Excellent. You're listening to Who Shot Ya. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Carrie Poppy.
And I'm Ross Blotcher, hosts of MaximumFun.org's Oh No, Ross and Carrie.
We wanted to tell you the good news that our podcast is now weekly.
Yeah, weekly. On Oh No, Ross and Carrie, we don't make extraordinary claims. We investigate them.
We go undercover with fringe religious groups, investigate paranormal claims, and participate in pseudoscientific medical treatments and report our findings to you.
In a time where alternative facts reign supreme, we cut through the murky spin to give you the real deal on topics like UFOs, the ITZY vaccination movement, Scientology, and even apocalyptic churches.
We're even undercover for some very exciting investigations right now.
Well, not right now, right now.
Yeah, that would be unwise.
That's Oh No, Ross and Carrie at MaximumFun.org.
We show up so you don't have to.
Welcome back to Who Shall Ya? I'm your host, Ricky Carmona. Joining me in the studio today are
April Wolf.
Ingu Kang.
Alonzo Duralde.
That's what's up. I'm your host, Ricky Carmona. Usually what we do right now is talk about a new release that is out in theaters, but it is the season of Halloween, the season of the witch, and we just wanted to talk about our favorite Halloween movies, big scares that we have in movies, everything all Halloween. So I'm just going to open up discussion to everybody here. April, when's the last time you watched a movie and you screamed out loud at a movie theater? Mm. And I will be asking the both of you this as well. Mm-hmm.
That's hard. I'm not usually caught off guard. I will do like the kind of shaky, like that's fucked up kind of feeling.
Yes.
You know, I just feel unsettled. But the scream is something that is very rare. I mean, I think I actually let like a ooh in the Babadook when I was watching that. That's a possibility. That might have been like one of the last ones.
I tried to remember today what movie I screamed out in at a theater, and I could not think of one in particular, but I did remember that my mother took me to a double feature of The Three Amigos and Texas Chainsaw Horror Massacre 2. And I did not scream in the theater, but I just kept asking myself, why did my mother bring me to this movie?
Teach you a lesson.
I'm a child, woman. What am I doing here? Ingu?
The correct answer is shut the fuck up. You're in the movie theater. Save that for the amusement park. Bye.
Damn!
Have no emotional reactions to anything. Be Ingu. Be quiet.
I'm clearly not nearly as tough a cookie as either April or Ingu. Unless we're counting yelling back at the screen during Kidnap with Halle Berry, which the entire audience was doing at the press screening I attended.
Oh, yeah.
The last time I screamed in fright in a theater was probably Don't Breathe.
Oh,
yeah.
That was unbearably tense at times.
Yeah, yeah. Ingo, this next question is for you then, you hateful motherfucker. God damn. Jesus.
Monster, I think is the word you're looking
yes,
for.
Yes, thank you.
Childless monster.
Are there any movies that you look forward to during Halloween season to watch? Anything that gets you in the Halloween mood?
So I thought a lot about this, and I think that I don't have like a movie that I like to watch for Halloween, and I'm not a horror person. But I think the original version of Total Recall actually is exactly what I want in a Halloween movie, and that it has really great special effects that are spooky, but also like weirdly adorable. The Evil Dead, I think, is like another example of this. And also, body horror. Like, honestly, I don't think we have enough of that in...
Like Trouble Every Day?
I don't know.
Oh,
Videodrome?
Cabin Fever?
Oh, see, this is the point where I say I have not watched any of those horror movies. Because I don't like them.
But theoretically, you're down for body horror.
Yes.
I see.
Because our bodies are horrifying.
Are there Halloween movies that don't get enough love? I'll say what mine is right off the bat. Fright Night.
First one.
I'm speaking strictly the original
OG
Fright
Roddy
Night.
McDowell Fright
yes,
Night.
Yes, okay. Roddy McDowell, Chris Sarandon, and that one white boy.
Who wound up doing gay porn.
No, the other white boy.
Oh, that one, yes.
Oh, the other white boy.
The one white boy who was in Herman's Head.
Right, William Ragsdale.
See what I'm saying? See? Yeah, that's why Alonzo's my guy. William Ragsdale, yo.
And Amanda Bierce was in that movie, too. pre-Married with Children. She's,
yes, yes,
she's the girl.
She plays his girl. Yeah. She plays the girl that he's in love with. Fright Night. Huge fan of Fright Night. The other one I was trying to think of was Near Dark, Catherine Bigelow joint. Near Dark.
Oh, excellent. April just reminded me about that one. Did you track down a copy finally?
Yeah, you know, I did, because we were talking about it on another thing. And it's so hard to find. You do have to go to your local video store or buy a copy. So I had to go to my video store, and that's great.
I think it's out of print, and I wish I had hung on to my DVD, because I love that movie.
God, it's a fucking beautiful movie. It's
Near
so
Dark
good.
Is out of print on DVD?
Yeah, you just have to buy whatever used copies or something you can find.
That is awful.
The Near Dark, there was a period of the 80s there that there were a couple of movies that came up for me in the deep cut question. Definitely Near Dark. I'm a big fan of these are actually two movies that were later remade, but I'm a big fan of the originals. The Hitcher.
Yeah.
With
yes.
Rutger Hauer and yes. C. Thomas Howell.
God, it's so yes. good.
I think that was the first time I screamed in a movie theater. Like, that movie just, like, scared the nerved the crap out of me. And Jennifer Jason Leigh, too, in that movie. Mm-hmm. And the original The Stepfather.
Yes!
With Terry O'Quinn from Lost.
Oh.
A great sort of, like, slasher movie, social satire of, like, Reagan-era family values, written by the great mystery novelist Donald Westlake. And directed by Joseph Rubin. Great movie. You would love it. You should check it out.
Oh, later. Probably.
Highly recommend The Stepfather. Stepfather's, that's one that is, well, just like you said there, going to a video store with my older brothers and just trusting them that they're going to find something cool, and then watching that and being completely terrified by it. The salad. Anybody else here? Deep cuts. I'm sorry, April.
I feel like we need to be talking about Demon Seed more, just in a general way, because I think that it's just apropos of our time. because Julie Christie, in the terror that she's put through by this AI being, it could be cheesy, but it just turned into something that is so terrifying and weird. And, you know, Julie Christie is sitting there trapped in this house where an AI robot kind of comes to life and, you know, won't let her leave until she has his baby.
Is this an experiment, something?
I have extended my consciousness to this house by activating my terminal in the basement. All electrical and mechanical systems here are now under my control.
Alex.
This has nothing to do with Alex. He has left our little box, madam.
And it's just my worst fear is coming to life. I hate AI shit. I hate it. Anyone who loves that kind of tech stuff, like, no, I don't like it. And then, of course, that someone would, like, force me to have a baby, let alone an AI robot.
Julie Christie sells it. You totally believe that story, as far-fetched as it sounds on paper.
Oh, my God. And it's a beautiful film. Mm-hmm. I love it. It's so good. But I think that's one of my favorite ones. And I think that May, do you guys remember
May? Oh, yeah.
Yes.
You know, a tale of a lonely veterinary assistant who wants to build her own friend by collecting body parts of perfect people.
It's Angela Bettis, right?
Yes.
Oh, she's amazing.
And Lucky McKee directed that one.
Oh, right.
And
yeah.
then they also did a switcheroo on a later film. So it stars Lucky McKee, and Angela Bettis directed it, and it's called Roman, and it's a lonely man who's trying to find connection. Hmm. So, you know, that's a fun one. If you've only seen May, you can look at the way that they switch the genders.
Interesting.
Both in front of and behind the camera.
I'm going to give a shout out to The Host, not the Saoirse Ronan movie, but the Korean Bong Joon-ho movie.
Ooh,
yes. Yes.
That is a fantastic movie on just sort of like regular stuff. But I feel like for me, as a person who does not really like horror, it has a really important correction for me, in that I feel like with a lot of slasher movies, you have a character and then that character dies and you're sort of like sympathetic that like they got stabbed to death or whatever. But with The Host, you really get a sense of like who that family is. Mm-hmm. And also it's not so precious that like you can't laugh at them even at like their greatest time of pain. And so I'm going to do like a little shout out there.
No, definitely.
Great movie.
Piggybacking off of that, too, another Korean film, The Wailing, that came out last year.
Oh, I need to see that. Dave loved it.
That one, That one shocked me. But it does a lot of things that Korean films do right now, where they explore the tensions between Japan and Korea and like the historical tensions through horror films. And this one does it really well because, like, the bad guy is some creepy-ass Japanese dude living in the woods. And it is it's so fascinating. But there's also, like, this kind of demon thing that's in this town and circulating maybe through water, but you're not quite sure. Oh God, it's terrifying.
With the host, like, essentially American imperialism is the monster. And so, you know, that seems pretty, like, valid to me.
It's like, oh, sure. Truth.
I was a huge fan of The Host. I didn't realize how funny it was going to be. And this is going off of what you were saying about being able to laugh at them, is the gentleman who plays the lead in that. I think it's the uncle of the little girl.
No, he's her dad.
Or he's her dad. I'm sorry. Just reminded me so much of Kurt Russell, like John Carpenter, Kurt Russell, Big Trouble in Little China. Here's our hero. Here's a guy who thinks he's the smartest guy in the room, and clearly you're the idiot. He just barely accomplishes his mission or isn't able to quite figure it out as quickly as everybody else in the room. I love The Host. Big fan of that.
One of the things I've been seeing a lot on Facebook among women and gay men that I know who are big horror fans and talking about it is they said that they grew up watching horror movies because they felt like there were more active female characters in horror than in most other genres. And with slasher movies, certainly, you could generally rely on the final girl, which meant that at least one of the women was going to make it to the end of the movie.
And that's what we were talking about, I think, last week, where, you know, I used to get criticized more about my affinity for horror, but it turned out, to me, if I really mind it, it was that the two places I would see women leading and having full characters were in horror and soap operas. And so and, you know, of course, Alonzo and I bond over soap opera love. but for me, it was a great place to have a female character who was struggling or dealing with something either physically or mentally.
They both have evil twins.
True.
I mean,
if you're lucky.
I'm a huge fan of sister stories in horror films as well. Sister is like Brian De Palma's sisters. Yeah.
Are you a fan of the, is it Slumber Party Massacre that all the...
One and two?
Well,
yeah.
I thought there was a bunch of them, but they're all written by and directed by women.
It's a great series.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Rita Mae Brown wrote the first one, the famous lesbian feminist novelist.
She did. And,
wow.
Yeah, and there's a different writing team, at least for the first two, like a completely writing-directing team, and then there's a new one for Slumber Party 2. But it's, Slumber Party Massacre, it's one of my favorite series. Because of that, and there's like a driller killer, you know?
Yes.
And
but let's lean into the whole phallic thing.
Yeah, the characters are very funny, and it's a very self-aware kind of thing, even though they know that they're going for a slasher appeal. But I love that film.
Two quick Slumber Party Massacre things. I rented that movie from my video store just because the cover of the box was a guy with like the double guitar. And it had a drill at the end of the guitar that was going into a girl's head. And then one of the female co-stars in that movie, Cynthia something, she's like an 80s TV girl. And there's like a running gag during one of the scenes where the zit on her face just keeps getting like bigger and bigger until it just like explodes. And then it just turns out it's a nightmare sequence. But I was like, God damn it, I fucking love movies. Just letting y'all inside my brain right there, y'all. That's how it works inside my brain. It was mentioned earlier about the final girls. One of our listeners on Twitter, when we asked what are deep cuts movies that don't get enough love, Scaramy Collins on Twitter brought up that The Final Girls is criminally underseen. Is anybody here familiar with the film The Final Girls?
Yeah, it's fun.
You're a fan?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I love a horror comedy. I have a very low bar for horror comedy, actually.
wasn't there like a Final Girl and Final Girls movie in like the same year? Like I seem to recall there's two different movies, and I get them confused. There's one that's about like the young woman who sees her mother in a movie.
Yeah,
and
she goes
enters
into the
film, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's the one I'm talking about.
That's the one you're talking about. Okay,
is that The Final Girls?
Yeah, it is. I think there's also another one that came out around the same time called The Final Girl that also plays around with the idea of The Final Girl, but it's
Oh, that one
movie.
Is without the. It's just Final Girl.
Final
if I remember
Girl.
Correctly.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think you're right.
There's, I'm like, by the way, it's just like, there's Howling, not The Howling.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because here's another deep cut that somebody wanted to bring up. Original Sin Boo on Twitter said, The Howling, which I'm a huge fan of.
Joe
the
Dante.
Howling. Joe Dante, yo. The Robert Picardo transformation scene in that. Till this day, I am traumatized by it. It's just terrifying.
The special effects for that film is something interesting, because he almost worked with his special effects artist for American Werewolf in London. Because
is that Rick Baker?
No,
that's who did do.
That's
Rick
who
Werewolf.
Did.
That's who did The Howling.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
But God, who Bob something or Bill? I can't remember.
No,
it's
no,
like
Rick Baker
man.
Did do American Werewolf in London.
Rick, yeah. He did.
Somebody
American
else
Werewolf,
did The Howling.
Somebody.
Yeah, yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Sorry.
I can't remember his name, but they were working simultaneously. The guy who did American Werewolf in London was on The Howling, and then went to American Werewolf in London with John Landis. So those two movies, their special effects are very similar, but they were advancing the cinematic art like simultaneously. And I love thinking about them maybe competing, you know, like yeah. Who gets to do like the biggest kind of transformation scares.
Like,
I love it.
It's like the two volcano movies coming out at the same time.
Oh yeah, exactly like that.
Ricky, I see you've skipped a French title that was suggested on Twitter. You want to take a crack at it?
Do I? I want to mention what John Armstrong said. He wanted to talk about La Tranche Cour de l'Homme de Doncourt.
I don't even know what it means in French.
Ingrid, this is when you look. This is when you say.
When you pronounce
now
it.
Ricky's looking around wide-eyed, hoping somebody confirms
it's
that he
the,
said that
it's
right.
The strange,
the
color,
strange
of,
color of
the something of your body.
Yeah,
I don't know that movie at all.
Me
I'm
neither.
Sorry, John.
We'll have to dig deeper.
Oh, yeah. John, I'm sorry that we failed you. I really apologize.
You have stumped the band.
I know.
And then, April, you talked to this person on Twitter today. Ubum asked, does The Guest count?
And it does. That's a Dan Stevens movie from, I think, something around 2014. Mm-hmm.
Is that Adam Wingard?
It is. Yes. Adam Wingard, who's very entrenched, obviously, in yes. the horror genre.
I need to see it. That's on my list of like ones I keep hearing people raving about, and I got to get to that one and Raw, which you keep talking about.
I will never stop talking about Raw.
Well, finally, I want to talk about the scariest or spookiest scenes we've ever seen in a movie. And I'm going to throw this to you, April, because you actually talked to friend of the show, friend of mine, filmmaker Emily Gordon. You were chatting with her about... Actually, tell us why you were chatting with Emily Gordon.
Oh, well, I'm going to have a new podcast coming off, a little offshoot called Switchblade Sisters, and it's a place where I can have a new female filmmaker on every episode. They pick their favorite genre film, and we talk in depth about that film and about the guest work themselves and see maybe how they were inspired by something. So it's about fandom and craft and women and genre films, obviously.
That's what's up.
Are you counting musical as a genre? Just checking.
If it's a horror musical or an action musical.
Okay, fine.
We need more action musicals. That's what I'm realizing.
No,
I'm the same right
yeah,
there.
Exactly.
Well, when is Switchblade Sisters dropping? Well,
that's coming out November 9th. So please stay tuned.
Subscribe.
Please subscribe to all that. And you asked Emily what movie scene scares her the most, yes?
I did.
Well, let's listen to what her response was.
Okay, so tell us your scariest moment, scariest scene in a movie.
Okay, first off, hi, Ricky Carmona. How are you? I miss you. I want to see you soon. I'm going to go with a childhood scare, because to me, those are the ones that stick and I think end up creating your actual fears. The movie The Gate... which is a 1988-ish movie about some kids who conjure up the devil, they open the gate of hell, essentially. That movie, I had a period in my childhood where I was pretty sure that the devil was trying to recruit me. Not at all raised in a religious home, so I mean, fairly, not super religious. I don't know where this came from. I just had, like, I don't know what happened. I don't know. Maybe Unsolved Mysteries. But this movie about these kids that just kind of joking around open the gate to hell, I was like, that's definitely going to happen to me, I'm sure. And yet I became like a heavy metal punk rock kid who also loved Satan worship music. So I don't know where, I don't know what happened. There's a scene in that movie where he, I think he grabs something, the kid grabs something, and then he looks at his hand and his there's an eyeball in his hand. And he stabs the eyeball with a, like a piece of glass. And I just remember being like, I'm the most scared I've ever been in my entire life. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to handle this. And then I rewatched that movie recently, and I definitely was able to handle it. But it started a lifetime fascination with like devil stuff and like demonology and a lifetime phobia that then kind of became an embrace of it. So I'd say that was probably the scariest scene I could think of.
Shout out to you, Emily. I miss you too, girl. Thank you, Emily, for joining us. And reminiscing about the scariest thing, the hand in the eye in the hand on the gate. Yet that shit is creepy, yo. Well, that about does it for our Halloween movie talk. When we come back, we're going to have a fun little game called Name That Scare. We'll be right back after these messages.
I like to Hulu and chill. Am I a monster?
What's happening on Game of Thrones?
What's a technical Emmy?
Why did Dominic Toretto go rogue?
Is this meme already dead?
Nicki Minaj or Remy Ma?
For answers to these questions and so much more, come on over to Pop Rocket, a pop culture roundtable discussion that always has a fun, diverse panel talking about the stuff we love. Catch us every Wednesday on MaximumFun.org or wherever you decide to get your podcasts. I'm not going to judge.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Ricky Carmona. You're listening to Who Shot Ya? And now we're going to play a little Halloween game called Name That Scare. I mean, score. Name That Halloween Score. How this works is we're going to play a Halloween theme track, and then each person will get a turn to guess that score. If you guess that score correctly, you get 1 point. If you guess the year the movie was released, you get 1 point. If you guess the composer, you get 1 point. If you get the answer wrong, we are allowed to kill one of your family members. Happy Halloween! That's how it works, yo.
We're really celebrating.
Samhain.
So I'm going to look over to my DJ in the booth who has all them hot Halloween tracks lined up. April, I'm going to start with you.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I have all the confidence in you that you're going to win this game.
I get real nervous and I draw blanks on things. That's why I'm terrible at trivia.
You're going to do great at this. Okay. Mr. DJ, hit me one time, please.
Oh. I mean, it's Dario Argento. Is it Suspiria? No?
I'm being told by the judges that that is not Suspiria.
Crystal Plume?
I'm being told by the judges not Crystal Plume as well.
Suspiria would have been my guess, too.
Is it called Empty Playground While the Swing Is Still Swinging?
Creepy playground, children in a choir.
Bunny only? Lake is missing?
It sucks because this is like definitely on a cassette that I listen to when I'm stoned. Like, this is on it. It's just that I never look at the titles. I'm just like, yes, I feel this. So I know it, but I can't place it because I've been taking it out of context for so long.
April, of course, that was Christy Comida of Rosemary's Baby. How did you not know that? You're the one who comes in here and is all like, I know horror movies.
Yeah, April.
Jeez.
See, that's what happens. That's why I don't play Scrabble either. People are like, you're an English major, right? And I'm like, I can't do this.
You're the one who's the nut on Beethoven.
All right, let's go to our second track. Ingo, I'm looking at you. Mr. DJ in the booth.
How you do.
That Mr. Snowman face, that's what I have on my face right now.
Mr. Police, I gave you all the clues.
I am Harry Hall. I give you all the clues.
Jaws.
Fuck you.
Thank you.
You got Jaws and I got Christoph Comida?
You want to go year in composer while you're at it?
It's not John Williams, is it?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is John Williams.
Oh, wow. I'm amazing at this. I think I actually know way more about horror than you do.
I hate this. I hate this. I'm walking out of this.
I think it's 1971. Can't get
75?
75.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Well, that is 1 point to Ingo.
No, it's two,
two
points. Points.
Two points. John Williams.
Sorry. Yeah, yeah, and the John Williams.
She's killing us.
Yeah, you are. Alonzo.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Here we go. Mr. DJ, please.
It's Beetlejuice, 1988, Danny Elfman.
Getting all the points right there. Getting all the points, my man.
I knew he was going to get up there. Like, this is the guy who's going to win. I cannot wait for what Ricky has to guess.
Oh, dude, I didn't know I was partaking in this, which I'm very excited about.
You're going to play the Halloween theme again.
Oh, a sidebar, have we heard that Trent Reznor, Atticus Ross remake of the Halloween theme song?
No.
No, they put one out this week, and it is very good. Mm. Highly recommend it. Okay, hit me one time! Oh, cut that, yo! That's Friday the 13th. I don't know. 1981? 1982? And then
80?
1980? Is it 1980?
80 question mark?
1980? It's 1980. Okay. Well, I will take the Friday the 13th, that point. And then what's the other? Oh, I have to guess who composed it. I don't know who made that joint. I ain't gonna lie. But I believe Sean Cunningham directed Friday the 13th Part 1.
No point for that, Ricky.
Can I get any points for that?
No.
Come on now. Can I get a high five up in this piece, please? The composer's Henry Manfredini. Okay, well, let's go to our second track. And April, again, we're looking at you. DJ!
Do I have to do this again?
Yes! You guys are movie watchers. You have no excuse to not know these.
We got a 75% like correct rate. It was just April. Yeah.
Lady expert over here. Yeah.
And I know so much.
I told you guys beforehand this was not going to go well for me.
Oh, I know this.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh. It's The Shining. That's The Shining.
Yeah, it is.
But I'm trying to remember what year that came out. This is going to be a hard one.
Well, you're trying to get bonus points now.
I mean, was it like 79?
Oh, I would say it's later than that.
Is it 82?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. No?
I was thinking 81? I'm so bad with
you. Around that time.
I lost a whole category on the Schmodown because of frickin' movie years. I never remember. And I don't know who the composer is either.
I don't think I know who the composer is.
Is it like Bach?
Mozart, you know?
It's before Mozart.
Wendy?
Wendy Carlos, who loved to like do synth remixes of Baroque music.
Yes.
And also scored Tron.
And also probably did a lot of pot.
And was like one of the first famous like trans people.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Walter Carlos was a longtime film composer and then became Wendy Carlos.
Ingu.
Wait, did April get that year?
Oh, yeah, what year was it?
Producers? 1980. She did not get that year.
Fuck. I was going to say 1980. I was.
So The Shining and Friday the 13th came out the same year.
All right, Ingu, we are coming to you now. Mr. DJ / producer, hit me with that Halloween beat one time.
Wait, can I say Fantasia?
I hope. I wish you would.
I mean, you can say
you
it.
You can say it. I mean, I don't know what to tell you after that.
Okay.
Fantasia is your guest for Halloween movie themes.
Here's my thing. The composer, I believe, is Mussorgsky because it's something Witch's Night or Witch's...
Night on Bald Mountain?
Yes. Wait.
Or is that something else? I never know.
No,
never
I think
Shh,
it
I didn't say anything.
Is...
Stop helping her.
But I have no idea what movie it is connected to other than Fantasia. So that's my answer.
Producers?
I have a hunch, but I don't think it's... I'm not going to steal.
My guess is that's from Tales from the Hood. The rusty cundy of joint, Tales from the Hood. That joke was for Alonso.
I'm thinking thank like you. Original Dracula or something.
Nosferatu.
Producers are saying that was the original Dracula.
What? But I love how everyone was so surprised that, like, I got it. Thanks,
what's
guys.
The year, April?
Yeah.
1935?
31?
28.
Wait, did I get the composer right?
Judges, did Ingo get the composers right? Tchaikovsky. Oh. Tchaikovsky.
Well, thanks music degree for nothing.
All right, and now we're going to go to Alonzo. Yo, DJ Halloween, hit me with that beat one time.
It sounds like the theme song to Amazing Stories, but I know that's not it. shit.
April is looking.
I got
at
nothing.
Alonzo
April,
right,
you want to steal?
With the I'm... most constipated looking face I've ever seen.
That's my thinking look. That's my thinking look.
It's like your thoughts are constipated in your head.
I'm getting a specifically Disney kind of vibe off of it, but I can't think of, like, it's not from the Haunted Mansion movie.
Okay.
So
all right. I feel like you're going in the right direction.
I mean, I don't know,
Disney.
something Wicked This Way Comes?
No, it's after that, I think.
No?
Disney horror movie.
Disney horror.
God. I got nothing. Sorry.
Song of the South.
That's racist.
Producers.
Hocus.
Fucking Hocus Pocus. The bane of my existence.
I feel like you would love it, right?
I have never seen this movie, but every homosexual under the age of 30 is like, what? You've never seen Hocus Pocus, the cornerstone to Western civilization? I'm like, no. I was in my mid-20s when that movie came out, and I gave zero shits. 1993.
Yeah,
Hocus Pocus. The composer's probably like Alan Silvestri.
No?
James Newton Howard.
It sounded like Danny Elfman to me.
Everything sounded like Danny Elfman after a while.
Yeah.
John Debney.
Don't know John
Got
Debney.
Got nothing.
No.
Okay.
No. Well, now it is my turn. I will step up to the booth.
Finish us off.
Yes.
Did you guys get a recording of my garbage disposal?
I
didn't know Lou Reed's Metal Machine music was in a horror movie.
That was somebody's garbage disposal. Oh.
We got nothing, producers.
Do you have anything that has a melody to it in that?
Is there a love theme from?
And that was the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Shut up.
I had no idea. I mean, I didn't even hear the chainsaw buzz up in that mug, yo.
You know, they were subverting your expectations.
All right, well, let's go over our scores very quickly, if I may. Coming in the rear is me with 1 point. Fine, I guess. Our guest, Inku, you had 2. Shout out to you for 2. April, our... horror movie encyclopedia, our knowledge, who we look to 2 points.
I got Dracula, motherfuckers.
And the winner champion of Name That Score, I mean Scare, is the one only Alonzo Duralde with 4 points.
Wow. This makes up for coming in second on Jeopardy.
This is not surprising to me. This is a man who will break into song at any chance.
I would just like, for the record, to state that April and I got the same amount of points, so we are clearly both equally...
I'm sorry, you were a music major? Is that what you're saying?
Well, we're going to be wrapping up the show pretty shortly, but before we go, we like to let you all know what our recommendations are, things you should watch, our staff picks. Ingu, I'll start with you.
Well, I'm going to go for a deeper cut, I guess. It's Halloween.
Make it as deep as possible. Yeah, yeah.
And I don't like horror, so for my fellow non-horror-loving people, I'm going to recommend Amore by Michael Haneke / Haneke. So Amore is about a elderly couple where one of them becomes physically and mentally dependent on the other. And the caretaker, after like a 60-year-old marriage, decides that he loves his wife, but every man's got some limits. And basically, in this time of true man terribleness, and also as the pointlessness of existence oppresses us all, I thought, what better movie than Amore?
Alonzo.
Well, even though he did inject bee venom into his dick, allegedly, I'm going to recommend Geostorm because it's so stupid. Dave and I went and howled through the whole thing. There's not nearly enough disaster in it, which there should be for a disaster movie, but there are a ton of flashing clocks with voices telling you, 5 minutes until Geostorm. Get the right friends, have the right cocktails beforehand, you'll have a blast. So it's awful.
Are you talking like you would see this over the Snowman awful? Like
I didn't see the Snowman. I heard that was a. I heard that just as was a just a straight up dog.
It's just bad.
It just just garden variety terrible. This is like reshoots terrible.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
April, what do you have for us?
If y'all haven't seen the original Invasion of the Body Snatchers and then the 1970s version, you know, do all of those. The 1970s one especially because it is one of my favorite. It's set in San Francisco where Ingu lives. What? You just go home and watch that. It'll remind you of home, right?
I hate San Francisco.
I'm so...
Well, they'll love this because they destroy it. They destroy it. It's so good. It's still so scary. And you will get so many inside jokes that have been made in other TV and movies after you see this. And then in the same vein, you know, if you've got Netflix, I would highly suggest checking out Lee Janiak's Honeymoon, which came out in 2014. There's a few honeymoons. We're talking about Lee's in 2014. Don't mess that up because it's not pretty when you mess it up. But that's a film starring Rose Leslie, who I don't watch Game of Thrones, but I'm told that she's in Game of Thrones. And she is a newlywed. Her and her new husband, they go to this cabin in the woods and...
Oh, boy.
That's right, already that's a bad sign.
Yeah, everything's wonderful. Everything's wonderful. And then she sleepwalks into the woods. And when she comes back, there's just something not quite right about her. And so it's this weird psychological sci-fi horror film that I fell in love with. I loved it.
My recommendation this week... I watched Raw last night.
Yeah.
And that movie is intense.
Yeah.
All I knew was it's supposed to be good. You liked it. And I saw a little bit of the trailer on mute. And just visually, I was like, oh, yeah, that looks like real creepy.
Yeah.
There's no, like, American sensibility to it. So I just felt like the doors to what can happen in it are wide open. And then... Yeah.
Yeah, they don't have to explain anything. They're like, yeah, we're at a veterinary school, and you guys should just, like, know that there are French veterinary schools that are famous, and that's where kids go.
That's where kids go, and in the first week, that is where all these horrible things happen. And there is no explanation behind it. That's one of the things I liked it, is it's just so confident in being like, this is how it is in this world. Just keep up with what the story is, and you'll be fine. And I totally was just like all in and fucking disgusted, yo. Disgusted. Like, the visual kind of gore horror.
This girl's eating people.
And then there's a close-up.
Look on Ingu's face right now.
The scene where the close-up where she's getting a Brazilian wax.
Yeah, she's getting waxed for sure.
Is one of the fucking creepiest things I've seen in movies this year.
And that's one of the things that I love about it, is that it makes these things that are normal for so many women seem just
sinister.
They're horrific, and the thing is that they are. Like, it makes it seem horrific because it is horrific that we would destroy our bodies in these ways, like, nonstop, just for, you know, someone else's pleasure in some way.
It is so goddamn good. Thank you, April, for...
I turned one.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah. I was all in on that. Thank you all for joining us. I want to give a thank you to everybody with me in the studio today. Thank you, Alonzo.
You're so welcome.
Thank you, Ingu.
You're welcome, I guess.
I love your black-ass heart, yo. And thank you, April.
You're welcome.
When we're back next week, we will be reviewing the film Suburbicon. Do you like what you're hearing? Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. If you give us 5 stars, we'll give you a shout-out like we're about to do right now. Shout-out to Katester72, who called our show delightful.
We are.
Thank you.
Benj Law also gave us 5 stars and added, who shot you to his podcast rotation? And the three friends wrote, Ricky's back, and he's brought 2 of the finest working film critics with him. If you have a comment or question about this week's show, tweet us at WhoShotYaPod or send us an email at WhoShotYa@MaximumFun.org. Our producer is Casey O'Brien. Our senior producer is Laura Swisher. This is a production of MaximumFun.org, and that's what's up.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.